You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinswomen and kinsmen, dear Israelites, the offspring of the Father Yahweh. I hope today you're enjoying yourself. It seems to be a beautiful sunny day out there, and it sure does help in what we're seeing going on now. You know, there's a lot of people getting very upset about what's going on, and they're getting themselves worked up into a frenzy. And to me, it's just another day. It's no different than last year or next year. It's just another day. You know, maybe if I couldn't buy as much eggs as I wanted or as much toilet paper or something, I wasn't buying any anyway. I already kept toilet paper in stock. So, you know, these things aren't my primary concerns. When things go bad or when they're good, my primary concern is the Father in heaven. So I don't think of, you know, toilet paper. You know, there's some interesting things going on. You see, the Jewish truth movement that we have going on, they always out themselves. There's a fellow you may be aware of or you may not be aware of named Sean Ross, and he's a South African, or supposedly is. Now, I've got a couple of sound bites I want to play you here that are very revealing, and you'll see, I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't listened to shows and known about what goes on in South Africa with the Afrikaners and, you know, trying to replace the Boers, just like the Jews are trying to replace the Israelites, us. You know what I mean? It's the same old story, the same old song and dance. Well, very interestingly, this fellow, Ross, he talks about the octagon and the Swissy. And he says the Swiss did 9/11, and the Swiss did the Bolshevik Revolution, and the Swiss killed the Jews, and the Swiss, I mean, whatever thing that's happened in the world, it's the Swiss that did everything. It's not the Jews. I guarantee you it's not the Jews. And he'll let you know this in these sound bites. No, it's the Swissy. Now, I'm not saying Switzerland is exonerated from being an evil place, but their skull shapes are not the same as Anglo-Saxon skull shapes, which ought to tell you something about the Swissy. You know, the Swiss, Eisenhower was Swiss, but he never mentions that Eisenhower was known as the a terrible Swedish Jew. You know, I don't know, Swedish and Switzerland are two different things as far as I'm concerned. He says he's a Swissy, which I think is wrong, of course. But, you know, it's very interesting that no matter what evil has occurred in the world, the 30-year war, which I want to go into at some point, where 20 million Germans were killed. You know, he talks about the Huguenots and that he's a Huguenot. Now, that's Comparé was a Huguenot, I believe. But it's very interesting that all the evil through time here has been all committed by the Swissy. And this rings just like it rings with all the rest of these deflectors. I call them deflectors because they're always trying to deflect everything away from the head and to deflect something to the tentacles so that you never target the head, which is the Jew. Very interestingly, in this soundbite here, you will hear that this fellow, he has no problems with anybody but Christians. He's not a Christian. I've been looking for this, and when I do find it, I'll play it for you, but I'll just tell you about it. You'll have to just believe me for the meantime. He was talking about demon possession at one point in one of his videos, and he said that demon possession is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, hello. I mean, hello. So get a load of this, all right? What has happened is he's gone to Europe in years past, and he tried to get himself into France, and they wouldn't accept him anywhere. But guess who's going to accept him? Now, what's funny to me is his name is Hross, H-R-O-S-S, which means horse, I believe, in German. But then again, the name Ross, R-O-S-S, we already know that means red. Maybe it means red horse. But I don't know. It's interesting enough. But I'll play this for you, and then we'll discuss it. Be prepared.
And again, I have no problems with Muslims or immigrants. I'm an immigrant myself. So the enemy within uses human rights organizations to buy entire ships to go and search the immigrants and bring them over. While me, Sean Ross, was refused an asylum in France at the French Ofpra in Paris for being not black enough. As they actually told me, as it was still during the apartheid era and no reason for a whitey to get an asylum in Europe. So I started to sleep in forests and in France and all over Europe. And in Switzerland, they only put me in prison all the time, while I just wanted to work and be with my family. I'm done with Europe and the Europeans. They don't want me here anyway. So now my friend Roseanne Barr and some good Israelis have taken the initiative to save me and get me to the Holy Land and away from the terror. Damn. Never thought I'd become a Zionist myself. And I'm not even a jaywalker. But I have no problems with the jaywalkers. And I'm sure I'll meet a lot of nice people there. I'll get them on cam for you. And finally get the opportunity to visit Saint-Jean d'Acre, or Acres of the Knights Templars. Roseanne uses the Israeli lawyer called Frankfurter for my Zionist adventure, whose father shot the Nazi SS Gauleiter Wilhelm Gustloff in 1936. And guess where that happened? Yes, in Davos, Switzerland. Hey, Swissy. This Swiss poster here was from just 3 years before. How Swissy was already busy making these posters and sort of cleaning up all the unwanted persons, just like Mr. Sean Ross, eh? Giving a general idea at the time of the killing of the SS Gauleiter, what sort of attitude was hanging around, eh? And the general atmosphere leading to whacking the SS Gauleiter. Just as today, almost 100 years later, they just can't get enough of it, eh, Swissy? I have a feeling I have a mission there in Jerusalem. Me, with entirely new and different ideas and solutions. Me, a non-believer, in the middle of all that religious hocus-pocus. Everything, what is happening now, is according to plan. By the notorious Octagon of the Alps and their Swiss corona. It's all by Pharaoh, therefore Sharia, the Sharia law from the ancient Egyptian demotic Sar.
Very interesting, isn't it? Roseanne Barr has power enough to get this non-believer, this supposedly non-Jew, a place to live in the Holy Land, which is really the unholy land, which is the cursed land. Is that not amazing? They have a shortage. What will they do? Kick out another Palestinian and make room for Mr. Ross? Ross? Isn't it interesting that the Jews would love this so-called white man and want to provide him a safe haven, as if they've cared for any Anglo-Saxon? Oh, this is very telling to me. You know, this fellow also, I'll just let you know, he talks about the Bolshevik Revolution, and he's naming all Trotsky and everything, and he says that the Swiss killed all these Jews, and that they're trying to kill the Jewish patriarchy. They killed Trotsky in South America. They killed this one. He said it was all done through Stalin, who also is a Jew and was married to a Jewess. Maybe he doesn't know that, eh? But isn't it interesting, you know, that he's completely exonerating the Jews from any responsibility in anything or any atrocity that has happened in the world? It's the Swissy that's done it all. Yes. It's very, very interesting for me to hear these things. This fellow, you know, did camp out in France and all different places, and the reason why I've entertained this at all was because I wanted to see what the fellow had to say, and I liked the places he was visiting and would see these things. But I found out that he was just another deflector, and if he's being brought to a safe haven in Israel, there's more than meets the eye here. As far as maybe he is a Jew. But I can't say. But I will let you know this, that this makes it even more possible that he's a Jew. Listen to this soundbite and tell me what's wrong here. Ready?
This is why the Afrikaner Boers are very different from the Dutch. We don't like homosexuality. We like our guns, and we don't hate the Jews and do not collaborate with the Nazis. There have been even books written like South Africa was made by the French, as you can read here in French. Huguenots et Français ont fait l'Afrique du Sud. How do I know all this? Because in the family we wrote things down for future generations as our house has a history and a tradition. So anybody who doesn't write things down doesn't have a history. It's like they never existed at all. So when I saw that picture of Vadiga, I...
Okay, what was wrong with that? The Afrikaner Boers? Wait a minute. Something's wrong there. I'm going to play this again for you. Now, we know that the Boers are German people. Right? You see, who likes the Jews? And who aids the Jews? The Afrikaners. Where did the Afrikaners come from? They came from mostly from England. They're Freemasons and Jews. How can you say Afrikaner Boers in one thing? That would be like saying Jewish Israelites. There's no such thing as a Jewish Israelite. Listen again. They like the Jews. They like their guns. They don't collaborate with the Nazis, meaning the Germans. Listen carefully.
This is why the Afrikaner Boers are very different from the Dutch. We don't like homosexuality. We like our guns, and we don't hate the Jews and do not collaborate with the Nazis. There have been even books written like South Africa was made by the French, as you can read here in French. Huguenots et Français ont fait l'Afrique du Sud. How do I know all this? Because in the family we wrote things down for future generations, as our house has a history and a tradition. So anybody who doesn't write things down doesn't have a history. It's like they never existed at all. So when I saw that picture of Vadiga.
Okay. So, very interesting, hey? Afrikaner Boers? See, the Afrikaners are there to destroy the Boer people, who are the Israelite people that inhabit. Of course, it's the tribe of Judah again. And the Ephraim, the English, they have a real need to kill Germans wherever they are. If they're in Ireland, they're killing them in Ireland. If they're in Germany, they're killing them in Germany. If they're in Africa, South Africa, they're killing them there. See? Now, this is a very interesting thing. And they don't hate Jews, the Afrikaners. You see? Because it's them in partnership with the Jews. Some of the Afrikaners are Jews. And so they're either Jews or Freemasons, and they're there to replace the Boer people, just like the Jews are here in America to try to replace the white people or in our nations all over the world, right? So there you go. There's an interesting thing for you to understand here. And, of course, the Bolshevik Revolution has nothing to do with the Jews. They were all being destroyed by the Swissy who did all this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an absolute joke. But it's not, I'm not joking with you. This guy's not joking either. He's trying to put this over like it's real, like it's true. But it's a joke. It's not true. Not even close to being true. It's nonsense. Talks about Alan Dershowitz, who is a Jew, but never mentions he's a Jew. So the claim is that the Swiss are trying to destroy the Muslims, the Jews, and the Christians. He doesn't care about the Christians, but the Jews, the Jewish patriarchy, like as if the Jews have a patriarchy, right? The Jewish men are little sissies, queers. But he said they don't like queers. So there's something wrong with the whole picture. I'm sure you're smiling right now. Knowing what you knew, I bet you knew already when I played that Afrikaner Boer thing that you knew, right? And he said Afrikaner Boer, but whatever. It's Afrikaner. These are two different things. Afrikaner and a Boer are two different things. Just like an Israelite and a Jew are two different things. So I just thought I'd play that for you, and so you could see what the truth movement is all about. That's what it's all about. See, the Swiss did everything. They caused World War I, World War II, the 30-Year War, the Bolshevik Revolution, 9/11, the Holocaust, everything. They've done it all, these Swiss. But the Jews haven't done anything. They've been victims of all these things which the Swiss have done. And yet, the Swiss have the same kind of skull shape as the Jews. They don't have the skull shape of the Anglo-Saxon man and woman. Very interesting, isn't it? Very, very, very interesting, I would say. So we spent some time on that, but it's hard for me to believe that people can try. You know, here's a guy that says he's living homeless, and yet he puts out all kinds of videos. Now, he finds people to stay with. Obviously, he's still got money. He's not starving to death. He's not losing any weight or anything, so he's eating all the time. Staying at communists' houses and things? You get it? And on top of it, what I told you before, he says that being possessed by demons is not necessarily a bad thing. No, of course it's not. No, No, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? And those horrible Christians? Yes. He's very against Christianity. Geez, I wonder, it's not possible he could be a Jew, is it? They're going to bring him into the Jewish land where there's not enough room for the Jewish people at this point, where they have to keep on bulldozing down the Palestinians' land to make room for more Jews. And they've got room for Mr. Ross. I smell a Jew in the woodpile. Or maybe they would like to just bring him over there because he's a useful tool and they can maybe race mix with him or something, right? Who knows? But this is the truth movement that you have out there. Oh, you could like to listen to them talk and they'll show you places and say this and say that. You know, he'll show pictures that are supposedly Swiss soldiers, but somebody might have just put in the Swiss cross on those pictures, you see. But you're supposed to just say, oh, no, those are real pictures. That's all Swiss. The Swiss did all these things. Oh, boy, I tell you. Now, I'm not going to say the Swiss haven't done anything wrong, but I'm just telling you that this is, it's a long stretch, a far stretch, at least. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, this is like Alex Jones. This is like, these are all deflectors. Bill Cooper, Ralph Epperson, you know, all these fellas that you see out there, Dice, all of them are deflectors. It's not the Jews. Ike, it's not the Jews. They've all said it's not the Jews. Then you've got the fellow that wrote Vatican Assassins, Eric's, whatever his name is. He's a Jewish diamond merchant, so it was all the Catholics for him. And there you go. Don't you find that a little interesting? I mean, they all point to the tentacles of Mystery Babylon, but they want to keep you away from the head of it, which is the Jew. Because the Jew runs the Catholic. The Jew runs the Freemasons. The Jew runs the government. The Jew is the New World Order. The Jew is Judaism. The Jew is Babylon. And on and on and on and on it goes. You cut off the tentacle, it grows back the tentacle and gives the tentacle a new name. So, I do find that to be quite interesting, and I would imagine you do too. And so I'll play a few things as I come across them. I'm looking for that one where he says that it's okay to be possessed by demons. I certainly will be looking for that. So, why don't we get into our subject matter? We're on page 301 in Be Wise as Serpents. And it starts off the Force. Let me take a sip of water here. Cool, cool water. It's the best drink in the world. And it's made by the Father. The Force. In order to fully understand why evil men also do good deeds, let us study the philosophy of Satanism, which perpetuates the Gnostic principle of duality. Now, I've told you about this, right? You know I have. Gnostic religions have, since their inceptions, worked off a dual view of the power. This thinking is directly linked to Hegelian philosophy, which by providing to the masses opposite answers often diverts people from seeing the correct answer, which has little to do with the two extreme views nor with their synthesis. The easiest way, perhaps, to explain what we are discussing is to refer people to how the Force in Star Wars could be used for both good and evil. I hope you're listening now. Nashab. In the final analysis, the mindset of Satanists is that they themselves, above all others, have been deceived into thinking that light can be used for good or evil. This is seen in their idea that there is white and black magic. Remember what I've told you about light. There's the light of the Father, which is the pure light. And then there's distorted light, which is the satanic light. It's still light. But, you understand? According to Alexander Wilder in his book Philosophy and Ethics of the Zoroasters, published in 1885, the Mithraic rites superseded the mysteries of Bacchus and became the foundation of the Gnostic system, which for many centuries prevailed in Asia, Egypt, and even the remote West. The importance of this is that the foundation of the Gnostic, system, with its various religious hierarchies, is based on Mithraism. You know the god Mithra, right? Then it is apparent that the concept of the Force containing both evil and good was part of the Gnostic system. Mithraism believed in a good god, Ahura Mazda, a.k.a. Ormuzd, and a.k.a. in Latin as Oromazes. The Juluminati today often uses the Latin version of the word Oromazes. Ahriman is the evil god and places evil wherever Ormuz creates good or does a good deed. Mithras is the mediator between the two. Today, the Juluminati continue to believe in two principles, Satan and Lucifer. Satan is the evil one, and Lucifer is the good side of the Force. Yes, get it, Lucas? George Lucas? Light? Luke Skywalker? Get it? So let's pay attention to this, right? Lucifer is the good side of the Force. Mithras tries to harmonize the two. In order to be in step with Mithras, the Illuminatus, as he or she ascends the occult ladder, must try to balance his progressively evil deeds with equally benevolent deeds. Consequently, the most wickedest and powerful Satanists are big philanthropists as they try to balance their deeds while gaining satanic power. Should be ringing bells to you now, right? The belief of the Satanists is that if an unbalance occurs, they are destroyed. The initiate into Mithraism was told Mithra was his own soul, Ormuz was his spiritual nature, and Ahriman was his animal nature. The grip of the lion's paw and the references to the lion in the Master Mason's degree come from Mithraism. So you were raised, Hiram Abiff was raised from the dead by the grip of the lion's paw. Now, let me make something clear to you. I'm glad because I wanted to say this show, and this is thank the Father that I was reminded of it. The Freemasons talk about being the widow's son. Who is the widow? Well, the widow is Isis. Horus is the father, or the sun god. Isis is the mother, and Horus is the god child offspring. You become a Horus. Because you're on your way to becoming a god. You're going to be a god man. in Freemasonry, right? Remember the Christ within, and that the secret of Freemasonry, the secret doctrine, is that we are all Christs. We are all on our way to becoming Christ. And the secret, the lost word, is the Christ within. Okay? You see? That's what it means about I am the widow's son. This is what the Mason says. So in other words, he's on his way to becoming Christ or a God. I just wanted to make that clear so you'll understand that. See, again, the grip, when you're the mob and the church and the state all pounded him into the ground in these first 3 degrees, you see, and he was raised from the dead. He's born again, so to speak. You get it, the whole thing. By the grip of the lion's paw. Like, who's the lion of the tribe of Judah? But it's not, they're not talking about him, but you get it? You see the imitation here. You know, like when Jesus brought Lazarus forth from the dead, right? It's the same thing. It's by the grip. He might have taken him by the hand and lifted him up. You see? So the church and the state and the mob were trying to get the secret from Hiram Abiff, the secret of the lost word. The keys, you see, and so they beat him to death to try to get the secret out of him, but he would not give the secret, so he stayed true, and he did not reveal the secrets of Freemasonry, so to speak. You get it? So that's what I just wanted to get, you know, make that clear, and when I saw the grip of the lion's paw, I said, oh, well, this is, it reminded me, and which I'm glad, because I did want to talk about that. And now we've got that so that you understand that. Part of the benevolence done by satanic organizations and Satanists is part of their belief system to maintain a balance within their lives of the dual principles. It is not entirely done to deceive. Now remember, this dualism is shown on the chessboard. This is why you see this on the police hats in Britain, because they're all Freemasons. So you'll see the checkerboard, but it's really the chessboard, the white and black. There's equal amounts of white and black, the square, earth. And it goes around the hat, which is a circle, and that's the compass, you see? So, continuing again, in contrast to this, Jesus Christ told the Gnostic religious leaders that evil is, will be judged by God. This sentence is improper. I'm sorry. That's why I'm pausing. And that all the good deeds of mankind are but filthy rags. The caduceus is a wand with two serpents twined around it and often has two small wings or a winged helmet on its wand's top. You see that in the medical, on ambulances, etc., right? Today it serves various uses symbolically. It is the insignia of the Catholic bishop in the Ukraine. The symbol is very ancient and goes back to the ancient Indian Hindu temples and Mesopotamia, Babylonia, Sumer, and Assyria. The Buddhists also use it to represent the world, wand, and the Kundalini force, serpents. But what the twin snakes are always expressing is the idea of active equilibrium, of opposing forces balancing one another in such a way as to create a higher static form. Books on symbols of witchcraft. This is a symbolic representation of the balance of the leading Satanists and how they attempt to maintain between their evil philanthropic deeds. Now, again, equilibrium, you remember that when I was talking about a peek at Pike in his morals and dogma. See, equilibrium is what it's all about. See, this is the Kabbalah. So, satanic ritual abuse, SRA. Why is this item put in a chapter on smokescreens? Because what has been called satanic ritual abuse is the primary vehicle for maintaining the shroud of secrecy. The primary part of satanic ritual abuse is to use a series of sophisticated and sadistic mind control strategies which use the combined effects of physical pain and the threat of pain, double bind coercion, split brain simulation, drugs, hypnotism, and other methods to program and brainwash the candidates for membership in the Jewilluminati in order for the lower level covens and satanic hierarchy to maintain its secrecy. Intense effort is extended to program all the members of the satanic hierarchy to commit suicide if they betray the satanic covens. There is no easy way for such people to talk or break loose from the Jewilluminati. You know, this may be one of the reasons why there's so much suicide going on all over the world, if you think about it. The professional terminology for this mind control is condition stimulus response sequences. The programs that are taught the subconscious mind of the Satanists can be triggered by auditory, visual, tactile, olfactory, and or gustatory, which is taste, modalities. In other words, the trigger to cause them to hurt or kill themselves or someone else are subconsciously set to go off by some sensory trigger, perhaps a word that they are not to reveal. But these people are not just given one program. Layers upon layers of destructive backup programs are put into their minds. These layers of programming are intentionally put into place by creating in the tiny infant's multiple personalities called alternate personalities, or alters for short. Once the splitting process is started on the human personality, it's like passing critical mass on the splitting process of atoms in a nuclear reaction. It becomes difficult to stop the splitting process, which is self-sustaining. People who are Satanists or come out of Satanism have multiple personalities. Adolf Hitler is quite a visible example. He could talk peace with the Czechs and Poles while simultaneously preparing for war. Should something go wrong, the Satanists are programmed to do such things as stop eating, have an accident, ingest poison, not sleep, not to take medicine, break their own bones, etc. Reminders to reinforce these triggers are enacted via such things as spoken phrases, taps, or a rapid series of 6 electronic tones. These suicide programs are responsible for many of the shootings, hangings, overdoses, auto accidents, starvation, etc. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Let's say that again. These suicide programs are responsible for many shootings. And what do many of these shooters do? They kill themselves after they do the shootings, correct? Shootings, hangings, overdoses, auto accidents, starvation, etc., that ex-Satanists experience. However, their deaths are not all suicide. Satanists will also put a great effort to kill the ex-Satanists. Satanists are also programmed with scrambling programs to confuse and block their alter system, emerging memories, thought processes, and incoming data. Other programs forced into the SRA victims, satanic ritual abuse, are flooding programs to interfere with any therapeutic process. Recycle programs to cause the SRA victim to redisassociate memories if any do get revealed. Cover programs to discredit the SRA victim's stories with unbelievable content. Verbal response programs which have been extensively and painfully rehearsed by the SRA victim and his programmer to ward off questions about Satanism and the victim's altars with acceptable answers. Some other programs are the silent shutdown programs, which cause the victim to stop talking. Another type is called the nightmare night terror programs, which cause their minds to terrify them with horrible images. These programs can be tripped automatically if the victim tries to talk about forbidden material. Well, I must tell you that I've said the word Jew, and I've said this before. I've said the word Jew to some people, and their heads start, you know, like moving, and their eyes start, you know, blinking quickly. It's just the strangest. I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. It's just strange, that's all. And I've seen this in women and men, and it's real weird. It's like they go into some kind of a trance, almost. It is critical to realize the extent of such mind programming. Not only have the Satanists practiced this mind control for centuries, going clear back to early Hinduism and the early mystery religions, but the mind programming is part of the life of the child of Satanists on an ongoing basis without time to be safe from the abuse. In other words, these Satanists program their own children. The Ritual Abuse Task Force, Los Angeles County Commission for Women, put out a report in 1990. The following are excerpts from it. Because of the nature of this material, I am quoting directly so that it will not appear to be simply this author's own opinion, but rather this is the real story about the indoctrination that people are going through every day into beliefs of Satanism. Ritual abuse is usually carried out by members of a cult. The purpose of the ritual elements of the abuse seems threefold. One, rituals in some groups are part of a shared, part of a shared belief or worship system into which the victim is being indoctrinated. Number two, rituals are used to intimidate victims into silence. Number three, ritual elements, examples devil worship, animal or human sacrifice, seem so unbelievable to those unfamiliar with these crimes that these elements detract from the credibility of the victims and make prosecution of the crimes very difficult. Most victims are children under the age of six who suffer the most severe and long-standing emotional damage from the abuse. These young victims are particularly susceptible to being terrorized and indoctrinated into the abuser's belief system. During and even long after the abuse victims live in a state of terror and disassociation and suffer from the impact of mind control techniques, all this makes the initial disclosures of abuse exceedingly difficult and can make each subsequent disclosure a terrifying and painful experience. Mind control is the cornerstone of ritual abuse, the key element in the subjugation and silencing of its victims. Victims of ritual abuse are subjected to a rigorously applied system of mind control designed to rob them of their sense of free will and to impose upon them the will of the cult and its leaders. Most often, these ritually abused cults are motivated by a satanic belief system. The mind control is achieved through an elaborate system of brainwashing, programming, indoctrination, hypnosis, and the use of various mind-altering drugs. Let me just stop right there. See, you don't even have to be a member of a cult to be subjected to these things. If you think about it, the television, listen to this. The mind control is achieved through, let's say, the elaborate system of television. Brainwashing, programming, indoctrination, hypnosis. I mean, there's even mass hypnosis, right? Through the television, through news stories. Right now, there's mass hypnosis going on with this so-called COVID-19. Isn't it funny that it's 19? The devil's number, 1 times 9 is 9, right? I mean, isn't it just kind of funny? Coven. Coven, right? Isn't that interesting? COVID. Coven ID 19. 1 times 9. Coven ID 9. Coven Identification 9. Anyway, there is programming going on with this, brainwashing. People actually believe that this is happening when the hospitals are empty. Programming. Indoctrination. You need to be vaccinated. Fear and terror are being, you know, through this hypnotic effect, people are getting fearful and full of terror. They're going out and they're buying things. Some people are committing suicide because they can't stand being by themselves. You know, the mind-altering drugs, it says here too. I mean, pharmakia is in at least half of the nation of America, in all the people. And if you're not on pharmakia that way, it's in the drinking water. And if you don't get it that way, you might get it through the chemtrail, etc., etc. You get the idea? See, as we all can, you know, look at this so-called virus, they've got the whole world's attention, and I'm not really thinking about it, but I'm just showing you how mass hypnosis could work. They've got everybody concentrating on this. Now, could this actually cause the virus to actually be real at some point? Say if they didn't intend it to be real at all. But through mass hypnosis and through everybody concentrating on it for long enough, could they actually turn it into a real virus? Something to think about, right? So let's continue here. The purpose of mind control is to compel ritual abuse victims to keep the secret of their abuse, to conform to the beliefs and behaviors of the cult. The cult could be the Jews, the news, right? And to become functioning members who serve the cult by carrying out the directives of its leaders without being detected within society at large. Let's take a quick break here. Well, let me just finish this last paragraph, then we'll take the break. It is not by accident that the Mason Mesmer came out publicly with hypnotism, aka mesmerism. The occultists who were the foundation of many of the science academies have been working to give scientific credibility to their occult methods. What was once satanic is now scientific. Remember I told you that science is often against the Father? Hypnotism, spirit guides, visualization, etc. Remember, that's like remote viewing, visualization, you know what I mean? The army was doing this, remember? Which have long been part of the occult's mind control methods are now scientific, quote unquote, and becoming an integral part of modern society. Just like pharmakia is becoming an integral part of modern society, right? Other occult beliefs, such as evolution, discussed later, are being made the foundation of many of the arts and sciences. Step by step, the satanic plan for world domination is being carried out. You, the reader, will learn what these plans are and how they are being carried out if you read the rest of this book. Let's just take a quick break. And this is a song, it's an instrumental, I believe, from my album, Look to the Daysman. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. I wanted to mention something I meant to mention at the beginning of the show, and that is I'm having problems with BitChute uploading the videos. Saturday, I made a Word of the Most High and the Rabbit Hole radio show, and I uploaded them, and by late evening, they still weren't up there, so I re-uploaded them again. And when it didn't happen, just before I went to bed, I uploaded Word of the Most High again, I think. So I got up in the morning, and they're still not uploaded. So I uploaded them yet again, both of them, and they took this time. But both went in, then I went and erased the other videos that didn't take. But it's not me they're doing this to. This is not that type of a thing. It's happening to a lot of people for some reason or another. It's a real nuisance. And I just wanted you to know. So I did my shows on time, but they just wouldn't load. You'll always be sure to find the shows quickly because they get uploaded to DavidJamesBoston.com first, always. So as long as you're checking by there, at the top of the page, I will have put, you know, the newest uploads of shows. So you'll know, you know, if you check by there or you keep it on your browser somewhere and you refresh it occasionally, you'll find out, and that's the quickest ways to get to the shows. So I just wanted you to know that. It's not my fault. I'm not lackadaisical. I did come out with the news on Thursday this week, though. Excuse me. I was a little late. I apologize for that. You know, a lot of busy things going on, and I just couldn't get to it. So I did it first thing in the morning on Thursday. But normally I try to get that out. But then again, you know, I could do the news on Wednesday and try to get it up there, and it still wouldn't get up there till Thursday. You know what I mean? Because whatever's going on with BitChute, it's just, I don't really know. So I just wanted to let you know that's happening. And to be sure, you can go to DavidJamesBoston.com, and you'll always find the show there before it would be on BitChute, because that's the way I do things. So I want to thank Jerry for his latest donation, and I would encourage other people that have never given before to go to DavidJamesBoston.com and use the donation link to help me so that I can keep these shows coming, so that I can keep myself out of Babylon, and I can keep bringing these shows to you. And I do intend to, if I'm able to stay out of Babylon, I do intend to even do more than I'm doing now. I mean, I'm doing, you know, four to six shows a week. Sometimes I do six, sometimes I do five, sometimes I do four. But, you know, I want to keep the output high. I want to make some videos and things like that. I've got commercials to make. I've got a lot of things to do, and songs and so on and so forth. So I'm hoping that you will support me in my endeavors so that I'm able to continue. And, you know, you want Miss Elke to be happy too, I'm sure. And she says hello to all of you. Thank you very much. Okay, so let's get back to what we're doing here. And it is pretty wild stuff that we're reading about right here. How incredible are such issues as Satanism? How can this book maintain credibility in examining Satanism when to assert the possibility of Satanism seems so unreasonable and monstrous? Well, you know, this is back in 1991, so it was much more unreasonable and monstrous then, but now people have got enough evidence, as far as I'm concerned, that Satanism is going on when people, now you know that these musicians and actors and boxers and everything else want to channel demons through themselves to do the actual fighting and singing and playing and acting. And I would not doubt that the politicians are the very same thing, that they actually want all the laws to be made through demonic activity as well. After all, do you remember Pelosi and them screaming out, "Yes, we can"? And when you played that backwards, remember? I do. So, the historical facts, it says, throughout the history of Europe and the rest of the world, there have been widespread reports of witchcraft. Not all practitioners, well, and witchcraft is talked about in the scriptures. Suffer not a witch to live. Not all practitioners of witchcraft are Satanists, but witchcraft is part of Satanism. All across Europe, and indeed the whole world, come countless historical documents attesting to the practices of witchcraft, on a lesser scale, also Satanism. It has long been recognized by scholars who study witchcraft that some types of witchcraft, is a missing word there, is merely sleight of hand, terror, fraud, insanity, sensory illusion, hypnosis, or semi-hypnosis. Witches in earlier times believed that they could fly on broomsticks on the Sabbath, the satanic Sabbath. Chemists who have constructed medieval potions that were recipes for flying ointments have identified that these potions are of hemlock and aconite. Henbane and jimson weed were also used. These were in reality drugs that often gave the witch the notion of flying through the air when she applied the drugs. These are reports by medieval judges who watched suspected witches toss in delirium after these potions were applied, and then witnessed the individual witches, insist that they had flown to their Sabbath and returned. Yet the judges knew, in fact, that they had never left the room. Apparently, the use of these flying potions was widespread, and their covens would secretly carry the witches, while they were delirious, to the Sabbath. I guess they call it Sabbat, all right? But it's, you know what I mean, it's the same thing. It's, you've heard of Black Sabbath, right? And when they would come down from their drug trip, they would believe that they had flown, and their belief in witchcraft as a powerful, fulfilling life would be increased. But in spite of many of the non-supernatural explanations for various aspects of witchcraft, there is an element of supernatural that persists. I say supernatural based on the common opinion that demonic spirits are supernatural. However, the demons may be more a natural part of this world than is commonly realized. In 1681, the two respected scholars, Joseph Glanville and Dr. Henry Moore, published their scientific and empirical evidence that witchcraft existed. The book was called Saducimus Triumphatus, or Full and Plain Evidence Concerning Witches and Apparitions. After the first came the third edition with additions, published in two parts, London, 1700. The book was an extensive compilation of case histories and other evidence of witchcraft. The book was so well received that it settled the issue for a period until the book was forgotten. The book went through five issues. It was so popular. Well, we'll have to see if we can find this. Okay, in 1668, Dr. Merrick Casaubon came out with a book that contains information and evidence of witchcraft. His A Treatise, Proving Spirits, Witches, and Supernatural Operations by Pregnant Instances and Evidence, was also well received and republished in 1672. Obviously, the controversy about the existence of Satanism is an old one. But the evidence concerning Satanism is very old and sufficient throughout history. Skeptics to Satanism have tended to be people who did not believe in God or perhaps anything supernatural. But within my own lifetime, this author has seen how those who reject God because they supposedly don't believe in the supernatural and God is supernatural have turned up to the occult for their values and their worldview. They claim that they are rejecting the supernatural, but their actions show they are rejecting God. Witchcraft is not simply silly credulity. It is hoped that as the power, Satanism, takes a stronger power grip on the world, its satanic aspect will become more visible. Okay, so that when it fails, people will know it for its evil deeds. Our written history has typically greatly underreported both evil and good. Evil prefers the darkness, and evil prefers good not to shine. Consequently, the power, as it has controlled the media, has ignored many miracles that God has done across the world, while simultaneously ignoring the activities of Satanism. This has served to blow smoke over the whole spiritual battlefield. This author can identify with something Joseph Glanville wrote on page 6 of his Sadducismic Triumphatus. After years of studying witchcraft and trying to debunk the stories and testimony of witnesses, Glanville writes concerning those people in general who object. To this aggregate objection, I return in the general. The more absurd and unaccountable these actions of witchcraft seem, the greater confirmations they are to me of the truth of those relations and the reality of what the objectors would destroy. For these circumstances being exceedingly unlikely, judging by the measures of common belief, 'tis the greater probability they are not fictitious. For the contrivers of fictions used to form them as near as they can conformably to the most unsuspected realities. It's just the wrong sentence. I'm sorry, but that's what it says. So I just read them as I get them. So anyway, this author concurs. Why would people seeking help and understanding satanic ritual abuse victims repeatedly say that they had guardian spirits that looked like E.T., the alien on the film E.T.? People coming out of the Satanism, the Jewilluminati, or encounters of the third kind with flying saucers are repeatedly making similar outlandish statements that can only obviously destroy their credibility. These people can't all be irrational in the exact same way. Their stories are too similar. Statements by those who have become Christians who were into Satanism say that Satan appears like an exceedingly handsome man with cloven hoofs. I remember we heard about him before, and he's always dressed in black. I think it'll say that, yeah, it says this a little further here. These contemporary witnesses sound just like the testimony that has come forth for centuries. For instance, in France, 1578, Jean Hervilliers testified that her Satan was dressed in black with hoofs. And in 1646, an English witch named Joan Wallace testified the same thing, that Satan was a large man in blackish clothing with cloven feet. Can such confirmations of the deception by people in different countries at different time periods simply be dismissed? These demons are reported to like the triangle symbol. To be like, it should say, the triangle symbol. For whatever reasons the triangle is becoming popular today, these demons also lie prolifically. There are many tie-ins between UFOs, demonic activity, Satanism, and the New World, Jew World Order. That is subject vast enough for another book. The foundation of the satanic religion is basic doctrine from the Middle Ages down to the present was that Satan would one day rule the world. The triumph of Satan will only be accomplished when the dualist dilemma is obviated and when one single force, Satan, rules supreme. The vision and ambition eventually became the fundamental satanic influence in medieval Europe and laid the ground for full-fledged satanic religion known as witchcraft. Magic, black, white, and otherwise, chapter of the occult conceit, page 81. Now, let me say this. You know, people want to defend the founding fathers and all this stuff. This freedom of religion thing is not the will of the Father. It is anti the Father. It's anti-Christ. See, the Father told us not to have these people in our nations because they would bring their gods with them, and then we would get involved with worshiping their gods, and he'd have to judge us the same way he will judge them. So it was wrong to have freedom of religion because that opened the door for religions like Judaism, Satanism, which is the same thing, paganism, etc., 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 Hinduism. You see? The Father's right all the time. I mean, he's never wrong. The inventions that intuitively came to scientists that were involved in the occult make it suspicious that the technology has been spoon-fed mankind with an ulterior motive. Satanism during the Middle Ages was extensive, but it wasn't a threat to the world, as it is today. With the increased worldwide communications, centralized controls, and high technology. Before, there was merely a will to have Satan rule, but now there are power structures and the means to. The older part of the Testament states that God formed the nations to limit the power of evil. Today, the world is being rushed into globalism without being told the dangers. By the end of this book, you will learn more about how the plans for the future satanic slave state have been carefully concealed. And he gives a bunch of book notes there. Chapter 2.1, Assassinating Three Assassins. The three infamous assassins are law, property, and religion. So says the official ritual of the 33rd and last degree ritual of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. Isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul says the law is an enemy to us, when we know the commandment is a lamp and the law is light? The law is there to protect us. Now, I'm not talking about today's Talmudic satanic law. I'm talking about the Father's law. It was there and is there to protect us, so that we can see our way. We're not walking in darkness. It is not an enemy unless you become a rebel. Then the law of the Father is an enemy of yours. The Apostle Paul says the law is bondage. The law is an enemy to us. And listen right here. The three infamous assassins are the law, property, and religion. So says the official ritual of the 33rd and last degree ritual of the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. The 33rd degree Jewish Mason Paul Rosen wrote in 1888, "Once religion is dead, law and property will fall to our mercy, and we shall be able to regenerate society by founding on the corpses of the assassins of man, Masonic religion, Masonic law, and Masonic property." And the Masons are doing this. This book shows the documentation of how Christianity has been systematically assassinated and the world regenerated by Masonic religion. Now, let me stop and just talk about something for a minute. what I was just talking about was the father said not to add to his law or to take away from his law. What does the Jew do? Well, the Talmudic Jew has our government and our state governments spending every day, unless they're on vacation, making new laws or breaking the father's laws by not doing them and putting into law not to do them, like capital punishment. There are reasons in the father's law that people would be killed. But you see, this is what this Jew said, this Masonic Jew. He said that, and he wrote this in 1888, that once religion is dead, law and property will fall to our mercy, and we shall be able to regenerate society by founding on the corpses of the assassins of men. Now, these assassins are the law. So what they do is they're changing the law. They're modifying the law all the time. They're negating the father's laws. They're putting things in that don't make any sense. And this is systematically regenerating the world towards evil and not towards the Father. This book shows the documentation of how Christianity has been systematically assassinated and the world regenerated by Masonic religion. The official organ of the Scottish Rite, The New Age, in September 1921, put out an article, Freemasonry as a World Power, quote-unquote. In this article, they state, by the pen of a 32-degree Mason, Freemasonry may be a world power, but all the power in the world is of little use to men who will not use it. The mightiest of levers may be in the strongest of hands, but if it lie there to no conscious purpose, nothing is ever moved. After calling on its Masonic readership to use the power of Freemasonry, they conclude, then Freemasonry as a world power will stand revealed as unconquered and unconquerable. This book will show how the most powerful men have used Freemasonry as a lever to move the world to their vision of a one-world religion, one-world government. It's not their vision. It's the Jews' vision than that they gave to these race traders of our race and other Jews that are in Freemasonry. How does the power control Christian religions? The following chart gives the power basic system for control. Now, this chart has, it's got the 10, you know, the tree, the Kabbalah tree, and all that kind of stuff. And it talks about it, some of the power points are UNESCO, intelligence agencies, satanic hierarchy, all these denomination heads, councils like the Council of 300, Christian and secular medial publishers, e-secret societies, seminaries and schools, foundations, churches, and all these things move together by grants and finances and everything from personal wealth. A list of Masons who have been Christian clergymen. Baptists, ministers, and pastors. American Baptist, Robert R. Austin, Jr., James Franklin Kunz, Robert Albert Kunz, K-U-N-Z. The other one was K-U-N-C-E. Ark Valley Association Ministers, President 74 and 75. William Whitley Widenham, or Ham, and Samuel Jerome Williams. General Baptist, Elvis Oscar Wilson, Baptist, Independent, etc. Ralph David Abernathy, Myron E. Adams, Thomas Jared Ayo, John Dante Barbie, Robert E. B. Baylor, David Benedict James. I mean, David Benedict. James P. Garrick. Robert Lee French. Paul Charles Close. John Fort Newton. Now, there's one name I recognize, and he's a 33rd degree Freemason. Adam Clayton Powell, Jr. Charles Ray Yarborough, Jr. Stanley Wade Lewis, Sr., Missionary Baptists. So, you know, there's a lot of these people. Let me read the Southern Baptists. Samuel William Avery, William Joseph Barber, Earl R. Little, Jr., 32 Shriner. Wow. He's General Commander York Wright College, Royal Order of Scotland, Rosicrucian, Deacon, Treasurer, Robert Franklin Keatley, Shriner, Herbert Lee Kinmon, Jr., Chairman, Pastor Conference, 1968, Julius Mahon Kirkland, Harry Earl Kirkley, Daniel Knight, Terry Emerson Knight, Reese Eugene Kaiser, Coley Livingston Leopard, Jesse Ray Leonard, Arthur Horace, Leslie Sr., Harvey Delman Lewis, that's a Jewish name right there, William Cernsey Lewis, John Reinhardt, Floyd Lisenby, Richard Adam Long, David Wayne Lowry, William R. Witz, or White, excuse me. That's usually a Jew name too. William Thomas Wood, William Carl Woody Jr., Shriner, and all these different things. And then it says Catholic, and I mean, it just goes on and on, all these names, Episcopal. So these are all people that are involved in as Masons in the church. You know, the Catholics, Emilio Aquinaldo, layman, Manuel M. Alberti, priest, Moses Austin, Abby Bertolio, J. Lewis Brown, there's another Jewish, Francisco Calvo, Joseph Charles, Minister Coombs, Abby Cordier, Jean-Baptiste Noel M. Delahog, Jesse Green, another Jew name, Miguel Hidalgo, James Hoban. And I mean, it just goes on. And these are all at the Episcopal Church. There's all kinds of names there. I can't name all these names for you, but, you know, it's just, this is insane. Wow, a lot in the Episcopal. Methodist, Evangelical. A lot of these names I don't recognize. The B'nai B'rith, whoa. Edgar Fogel Magnin. Rabbis, you know. So Lutherans, Methodists. Lots and lots and lots of them. A 33 degree Freemasons. United Methodists, Presbyterians. I mean, this is incredible, ladies and gentlemen. This is an exhaustive list. I can't read it all to you. So let's continue here. We're on page 317. Further on, individual denominations will be examined in depth. But for now, here are some noteworthy items that can be mentioned in general about the Masonic infiltration of the churches. In other words, what I just was showing you, if you could have seen how many names there are there, you'd be absolutely shocked. And I mean, this is in all the major denominations, and including the Catholic Church. And of course, Freemasonry is loaded up in the Catholic Church now. Ministers, number one. Ministers, especially high-ranking church officials, are special targets of recruitment. Not only is this known to the author from interviews with ex-high-ranking Masons, but also can be seen from the following quote from the Proceedings of the Grand Lodge of Illinois, 1909. The Grand Master, Charles R. Smith, speaking to a large Masonic meeting which had representatives from 24 foreign Grand Lodges and representatives from 54 lodges in attendance, stated his following decision. He says, I was asked Is a Jewish rabbi a minister of the gospel? With the meaning of section 21, chapter 15 of the Constitution, entitling him in the discretion of the lodge to a reduction in or a rebate of the fees of initiation? As Jewish rabbis are authorized by law to perform marriage ceremonies and other duties appertaining to the sacred office of the ministry, I ruled that they were ministers of the gospel. You get it, ladies and gentlemen? This is an abomination. Ministers of what gospel? You know what I mean? With the meaning of the section underlining added to highlight how recruited ministers can get their fees waived by a lodge. So Jewish rabbis are ministers of the gospel, hey? I told you what gospels they minister to the world. The gospel of equality, the gospel of the Holocaust, the Pauline gospel, the gospel of them being God's chosen people, the gospel of the pig, etc., etc. So, number two, it says here, let's move on to that. In some denominations, the selection of what congregation a minister is assigned to involves church politics that can give Masons an edge. Conservative ministers are assigned small, poor, rural churches. More liberal ministers with the right connections are given large, rich city congregations. Not only is this borne out by an interview with an ex-minister, but reports like the following make it suspect. This report is from the Bishop of Southwark, Dr. Mervyn Stockwood. Quote, "A case known to me involved a particularly unfortunate appointment to an important living. The man, a Mason, had little to commend him, but he was approved by the diocesan, I guess that's how you say it, the suffragan, and by the archdeacon, all of whom were Masons. I am prepared to believe that the hierarchy was innocent and never allowed the Masonic factor to determine their choice. But in the diocese, it was widely believed that it was the golden handshake rather than the Holy Spirit that filled the vacant living." This is something that Alice Bailey had talked about, that this was going to happen, that the Masonic order was going to infiltrate the church. And you can certainly see that it has. This is why they're trying to push for the one world religion, and they're pushing the people in their churches towards this liberation theology, this communism. They're supporting freedom fighters, communist freedom fighters, that is. So we're going to stop there. We're on page 317. Tell me that's not amazing, ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard. You wonder why Christianity is in the position it's in today? It's been denuded by the Pauline gospel. And then, as if that wasn't bad enough, it's been depowered, denuded just so much that it can be infiltrated very, very easily, and has. It's a sad day for our people. It's a sad day that the traitors of our people have done much of this. See, the Jews couldn't just do this themselves. They've had a lot of help from our own people. They couldn't have done all the things they've done. But there must be a very high spiritual power, especially when you're in Freemasonry and you're accepting demons into yourself in the guise of light in this Gnostic climb of the ladder of Freemasonry. No wonder they can be traitors. You wonder, well, geez, how can this happen? Well, when you're full, chock full of demons, you're not in control. The demons are. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Now you know why the world is in the condition it's in. And now you know you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.